Okay. So we're going to go and get started. I'm Dean Cleaver. I work in the SharePoint product marketing team. I'm responsible for our partner ecosystem, both SIs and ISVs. And more recently, we've been working on the Office and SharePoint store.
I'm Isha Shah. I'm a program manager on the SharePoint developer experiences team. And I've been working in the store and the app platform for the last few years.
So can I get a quick show of hands? This is a slightly random question, but who's got internet connectivity in the room currently? And is it working? Okay, so we appear to be the only ones that do not have it. So you'll have to bear with us. If it doesn't come up in the next 20 minutes, the demos might take on a slightly different dimension. So let's just quickly buzz through the agenda just while we're checking things out. We're going to spend a few moments talking about the new app model, which I'm sure you heard about in today's keynote. And then talk about the store opportunity and how you can develop apps for the store and actually make money from the Office and SharePoint store. Then we're going to look at some app scenarios, and Aisha is going to run through a whole bunch of different apps and different audiences that have actually built those apps. Then we'll talk about actually selling and making money from apps and distributing the apps. And we're going to save a whole bunch of time at the end for Q&A, so please feel free to jump in with any quick questions, but we've got quite a lot of content to cover, and we'll have a good 20 minutes at the end for questions. So one question before I start: who has logged in and downloaded an app from the Office or SharePoint store? Can I get a show of hands? Okay. Who've heard about the store for the first time in this morning's keynote? So let's look at the SharePoint app model for a moment. This is a great opportunity for you as partners, ISVs, developers, end users in the corporate environment to build really compelling apps and distribute them both internally and through the SharePoint and Office store. It's a great opportunity to reach new users and also delight those existing users that you currently work with, again, both internally and your end customers. And something that I'm sure developing for, in particular Office, but also SharePoint, that things are a lot more seamless with the distribution and the updates of apps. So you can build some really great apps, and then you can get them updated through the new app model and not have to worry about the whole constant upgrade cycle. And it allows you to maintain your current selling motion if that's the business model that you want to go with and maintain those existing customer relationships, or you can actually surface your app in the store and reach some of those new customers. And the flexibility of the app model. So you can build the same app both for on-premise and cloud deployments. Not only build in SharePoint, but build across the whole Office stack as well using all of the new web standards. So I guess I don't need to tell SharePoint partners how big the SharePoint opportunity is. When we do research, we know that our SharePoint community is growing at a phenomenal rate. You saw that with Jared and Jeff's announcement this morning that the SharePoint business has smashed through the $2 billion barrier. But just think about the opportunity by extending and building apps for Office as well as SharePoint. A copy of Office is sold every second, and we've seen with SharePoint 2010 versus 2007, that adoption of that platform was 5 times quicker. So we're really hopeful, and we're pretty sure that the adoption rate of the new Office is going to be quicker than that as well. And then look at the penetration of SharePoint. 2 out of 3 enterprise users, I should say, have access to SharePoint and use it. And so to help you reach this audience, we've introduced the Office Store, which Aisha is going to demo shortly. And this is the most convenient location for you to distribute apps in whatever form you want, be they a free app, a chargeable app, a trial app, and get those out into the 1 billion users. And if you think about the opportunity there, there's only probably 3 platforms that you can build for to reach that many users. That would be Facebook, Windows, and Office. And I guess if you ask yourself the question, who spends pretty much the whole of their working day in one environment, that would be the Office platform for sure. And everyone that gets the new version of Office will have access to the Office store. And if they're using SharePoint, obviously, they'll have access to the SharePoint store as well. And then when we look at all the 365 customers that are on the 365 service and all the new customers that are going to be joining it, those guys will move over very quickly to the new version of SharePoint and Office. So there's an immediate market opportunity there as those guys take the new version. And then you've got the flexibility of the new model. Just think about some of the scenarios as Aisha's demoing this, that you've got the ability to surface an app in all of the different products within Office, Excel, Word, PowerPoint, Outlook, SharePoint, across all of those. And also think about an app that could actually travel with a document to other users, so you get this whole viral adoption piece as well. And then spreading across to the different markets. You're building currently for the enterprise space, and you're looking at addressing the small and medium business sector. Again, a great way to have a frictionless way of selling an app or selling your company as well by having something surfaced within the store with pretty much no additional investment required. And then if you're currently working with a small business sector and you want to get into the enterprise space, you don't want to go and have to recruit new salespeople and have to ramp up around that. Again, you can build your solutions and get them immediately in front of the enterprise customer space. And then we're throwing consumer in there as well. So think about the whole consumer piece, not necessarily from just changing your business model completely, but an app that someone could start using at home, take into the corporate marketplace, and then start to get that adoption piece around as well. And then obviously with the growth of Office, and I'm not sure, I know some of the guys were demoing on Surfaces this morning. I ran out and bought myself one on the first day, but all versions of Windows will ship, Windows RT, I should say, will ship with a copy of Office RT. So suddenly you've got all of these new users to Office as well. And the apps will run just as seamlessly in that environment as in the full version of Office. So before I just run through this one, who is a SharePoint partner currently? And then how about end users or customers of SharePoint? So a great opportunity to spin up your own organization and build apps and get a second income. So from a readiness perspective, this is great for pretty much for everyone, because now we have opened up the whole app model that you can use existing web standards. So you don't need to worry about fully skilling up in the new SharePoint. It's a great opportunity to bring in developers that are working with web standards currently and be able to start building immediately. And Aisha's going to demo some apps with companies that have never built on the Microsoft platform before. And I think that's a great testament to how open this environment is. And then, again, as you heard in today's keynote, there's a great growth opportunity being a partner or as a customer with the new version of SharePoint. And, of course, with all the upgrade opportunities, if you're a partner, I know we haven't got any specific partner sessions this week because there's just so much to cover in all the other sessions. But just think about the upgrade opportunity, the app model, and it's just a great way of thinking about growing your business in a slightly different direction. And just the ISV community, again, we've got some demos of existing ISVs that I'm sure you've heard of over the last few years, people like Quest, and they've taken a whole different direction and started building really cool apps for the store as well. The SI community and I guess the same for the corporate environment as well, they see it as a great way of capturing IP from their engagements that traditionally it was quite challenging to go and repeat that custom code they built in a new environment. But now they can actually surface that in the store or sell it directly to the customer through the corporate catalog. Then there's the individual developer, which we're going to feature in a while as well. And then the entry cost. There's pretty much zero investment cost to get started off with the new app model. Membership to the store is open to anyone that has an Office 365 tenant. So you can immediately start developing apps, get them in the store, and there's no large investment required in new dev tools, additional costs, or anything else. So let's just tee the demo up, and then Aisha's going to jump in. And assuming the internet is going to be kind to us, we're going to get some great demos. So Aisha's going to cover just a bit on the SharePoint Store experience and the end user experience of grabbing an app. Then we're going to talk through, and I believe she might be in the audience, Sonia Madsen, who's built a whole bunch of apps for the store. So we're going to demo one of those. Then we also have a couple of existing ISVs, Quest and Pingar, those two. And then one, totally new partner that I think only started building in recent weeks. So Aisha can color that one in for us. So take it away on the demo.
All right, can most people see me? They don't make these podiums tall, short enough, so I need to stand on a box. All right, so I'm going to start by showing you what a team site is. You might have seen a little bit of this in the keynote earlier on, but it's really good to help set context of how we think apps fit into SharePoint. And I'm going to demo a couple of different apps today, which I think will really showcase the breadth of scenarios that you can build, as well as the different technologies that you can use to build apps for SharePoint. This time around, we really emphasize on web standards. And so what this means is that you as a developer do not need to know depth of SharePoint technology to be able to build on SharePoint. And you can use the technology that you're most comfortable with to build an app and plug it into SharePoint. So this is a team site. And when you create a new team site, you create it with this gorgeous getting started experience. And it gives you a bunch of different prompts of the different things you can do. So I can share the site, invite people to collaborate. I can, you know, apply a theme to it, personalize it, and I can add functionality to my site through apps, lists, and libraries. So let's take a look at what this experience looks like. All right. So when I click on the link, I get taken to this page that we call it Your Apps, and it's essentially the list of all of the apps that I, as an end user, have the ability to add to my site. The internet is taking some time, so it's still loading stuff. But when it does load, you'll see that it actually has a bunch of different apps over here. And if you're familiar with SharePoint, you'll see lists and libraries showing up here, and you might be wondering, why is that here? When we were talking to end users, we found out that they were really confused by the different concepts that we had in SharePoint, and they never really understood why a calendar was a list, you know, what's specifically listy about a calendar. And they understood the model of calendars and such other things being apps on their different platforms, like their phone and their Windows 8 devices. So we kind of took that concept and we applied it to SharePoint. So now all of the things that come with SharePoint, like lists and libraries, are also called apps. And there's only one way to add any functionality to your site, and that's through the Your Apps page. You'll also see apps over here that have come from my organization. So my IT admin could have uploaded some apps and made them available to me through the site. And you can imagine an HR payroll app or something like that showing up over here. And then you also have some apps that I have purchased or someone has purchased for me and I have a license to that will show up on this page. And I can go ahead and install the app to my site. If there's something specific that I'm looking for that doesn't really show up here, I can go to the SharePoint store and look at the third-party apps that have been developed and purchase a new app for myself. It's going to take a few minutes. When it does load, you'll see that it has all the same functionality that you'd see on any other app store, like categories, filters, sort, featured apps, search, ratings, and reviews. It shares the same backend as office.com, so if you go to office.com and you go to the SharePoint app section, you'll see the same content showing up there. But the added value of having an in-product store is that it can provide context. So, you know, every SharePoint deployment has a different set of configurations. Every site is set up differently. And I, as an end user, don't have the visibility to the features and services that I have available. And every app can depend on a different set of features and services within SharePoint. So if you look really closely, there's some of the apps over here are grayed out. And when I hover on it, it says that I can't add it here. And clicking on it will give me more information of why I cannot add this app here. So it'll tell me that I need to turn on the developer feature to make this app work. So we really wanted to make it brain dead simple for end users who do not understand the depth of technology to be able to, and SharePoint, to be able to add apps to their site. So let's go back. So with that, let's take a look at the first app that I wanted to demo. So So clicking on any app in the store will take you to what we call the app details page, and it has a lot of information that you can look at to decide if you want to purchase or install this app. It's got things like screenshots, some information about ratings and reviews. I believe this app was just published 2 days ago, so there are no ratings as yet, but I can assure you it's awesome. There's some details and reviews, and it all shares the same content as office.com, so you'll see the same content on both of these locations. As a developer, I can choose to, publish my app as a free app. I can use to apply a price to it. So in this case, Sonia's, decided to sell it for $30 for per user license. I can also decide to buy it for more people if I'm feeling a little bit generous and assign licenses out to them. Or I can also say that, hey, I want to give it to every single person in my organization because I want everyone to use it. And I, as an end user, have the power to do this. So I don't need to go talk to my IT admin. If I want to add an app to my site, I can do it on my own. So I'd already purchased this before, so I'm just going to go ahead and add it to my site. And when I do that, I get a consent UI, which if you're familiar with adding an app on Facebook or something, you might be familiar with something like this, where the app is basically using the web standards OAuth 2.0 protocol to request consent to specific items on my SharePoint site that I'm adding this app to. And if I go ahead and trust it, it'll immediately start installing the app on my site. All right, so this page that I get taken to when the app begins installing is the site contents page, and it's kind of considered like the backstage to your site where you can see all of the apps that are currently installed on the site. You can, click on these little dots to get more information about the app, so you can see, the version that you're looking at, the developer, some terms and conditions, and you can also do stuff like manage licenses, manage the permissions, or remove the app if I wanted to remove it. So Sonia is actually an independent developer, and she now has 3 apps in the store and is working on 2 more. All of her apps are made with HTML and JavaScript and hosted on SharePoint, so basically she was able to use the technology that she is most comfortable with and plug into SharePoint and build on top of SharePoint using the app model. Launching the app will take you to a full screen experience, and all apps are required to have this experience. And this is kind of what we call the immersive experience, where the developer has all the control of what they really want to do with this with the app. And when you look at it, it kind of looks a lot like the site that I just came from. It's picked up, the CSS, it's picked up the fonts, the colors, the theme. And it also has this navigation layer on top that kind of looks very similar to the Chrome. And it kind of gives me context of the site that I was on, and it lets me go back to that site very easily. So we provided a lot of hooks for developers to register their app with the CSS from SharePoint and grab the CSS from the parent site and make your app kind of really feel like a first-class experience within SharePoint and not something that's tacked on at the end. So you can very easily make your app look and feel like a very integral part of SharePoint. So this is a slider app, and basically what I can do here is I can add some images to it, and it will bring up a slider on my team site. So let me go ahead and add some photos that I took here at SBC to share with my teammates who weren't able to make it here. So just drag it and drop it in here, and it should upload the images to my site. It's going to take a few minutes because of the internet. There you go. All right, so I can go back to my team site now. And so when I install this app can come with a bunch of different customizations, and one of them is app parts. And that's kind of like a little view into your app. So I mentioned this is a slideshow app, and this app has come with the slideshow app part. So when I install the app, it automatically comes with that. And all I need to do to add that app part to my page is put my page in edit mode and select the location where I want to insert this app part. And go to insert, and if you're familiar with inserting a web part, it's kind of very similar to that experience. So I can just go to insert, and then you'll see a new button show up over here that says Insert App Part. And you'll see the slide carousel app part show up in here as well. Come on. All right, let's try this one more time. If not, I'm going to start switching over to my deck. All right. I don't think this is going to work. I'm going to switch over to my deck. I think the internet's gone down again. All right. Give me a second.
Any quick questions while Aisha's just switching over?
So if I already have a license for it, the added button shows up, and if I haven't added a license, and I can actually go and buy more licenses, like I showed you, to, you know, add more users or buy a site license. So that's kind of why we have both the options. If I didn't have a license for it, you'd have a buy it, and if there was a trial available, you'd see a try it button there.
Okay.
Let me give it one more go. If it doesn't work, I'm going to switch over to the deck. Because it's really nice to see it live.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
For Dean. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that from you, my day. Thank you. We don't have specific numbers that we can share, I'm afraid.
Is there any plan to share that information in the future, or is that something you're going to keep posting with?
I can check on that for you, but we don't have anything that we can share today, I'm afraid. But we do have a lot of users, and there's big growth.
Right.
But that's not helpful to you, is it? I'll grab your card afterwards as well. Sorry, was there another question?
Will you be covering percentages of Microsoft along with
that type of thing? At the end of the demo, yeah. No problem at all.
All right, let's try this because we got a new Wi-Fi hotspot over here, and hopefully it'll help. So I'm going to add the slideshow app part to my page, and it should very quickly start rendering the slideshow in there. There you go. So I can do like fun things like, you know, edit the name of the slideshow. I can edit the transitions that I want. I can edit the speed that I wanted to that I want. There you go. So yeah, I can do stuff like change the name of this and call it SBC booth, and I can, you know, do stuff like change the transitions. And I can have, as a developer, I can have my own properties in here that I want to give the end users the ability to customize my app part with. And then if I just apply it and save it, and save my site, it should show up there. And that's pretty much how easy it is to get an app part from your app onto your site. And as an end user, I can go ahead and do this without having to write any code. The other great thing is that when I uninstall this app, all of the customizations that have come with my app go away. So as an end user, I don't need to go around figuring out, you know, all the different things that the app could have left behind. So we've got a very great isolated life cycle for this app. And when I upgrade the app as well, it'll kind of push the upgrade out to all of the app parts and all of the other customizations as well. you can also imagine an app like this showing up not only on a team site, but on a public-facing site. So I could have a cupcake site, and I bake cupcakes a lot, and I want to show them off to my friends and family, and I might want to actually add some comments around it. So I could have this public-facing site on SharePoint, and I could insert the same app part over here. So as an end user, I don't really need to write any code again, and I can just very simply add this app to my site. So it's a really good example of how powerful and very simple an app for SharePoint can be. So let's move on to the next app now. So Quest has been a partner for Microsoft for a really, really long time, and they've been in the business typically of building migration software for SharePoint. And with the new app model, they were able to explore a new scenario in a very lightweight manner. So what Quest went ahead and did was that they used this app model to build a social app for SharePoint. And when you launch the app, it'll bring in feeds from a few different sources. And you can customize these feeds and customize your sources to get your own personalized view of the feeds. So as you can see, it's bringing a bunch of different feeds from Twitter or Facebook, and I can toggle the views to see what I want to filter on each one, but I can also add my own feed to customize it. Let's create a new feed. Let's have one from Facebook, and I want to use SBC, save, and then go. Come on, internet. All right, I think I'm going to switch to the deck at this point because it's not going to work, I don't think. All right, so I get taken here, and I'll see if I go to the Facebook toggle, I'll kind of see all the feeds coming in from SBC. I'm going to need to move my box as well. Sorry. So moving on to the next app. So this is the Pingar app. That again, Pingar is a huge partner. Microsoft, they've been working on Microsoft for a long time, and what they typically do is actually they build metadata extraction software, and they take documents, they extract keywords, you know, locations, people, and certain metadata, and they can bubble it up. So they had an existing service, and all they had to do was plug into SharePoint by pushing UI entry points in the document library. So I mentioned that apps can come with customizations like the app part, but it can also come with other customizations like the ECB, so putting in an entry point in the drop-down ribbon or adding an entry point to the call-out. So Pingar's app is an example of how they could just use our existing service, use OAuth, authenticate themselves with SharePoint, and gain value from all the documents that are stored in SharePoint. So what, as you can see in this document library, there are a bunch of keywords that have been extracted from the documents, and it kind of works across a lot of different file formats. So you can do it against a PDF, you can do it against a text file, you can do it against a Word file. And the way you'd go around doing this is that you bring up the callout by clicking on the dots. You can click on Pingar metadata extraction from there. Or you can also use the ribbon, select a document, go to the Files tab, and hit extract Pingar metadata. Both of these entry points were pushed into the ribbon and the dropdown when my app was installed. And when I uninstall the app, both of these entry points will disappear as well. So I can use either of these two methods to start extracting data for a specific document. And once I do that, what's actually going to happen is it's going to take the document, send it to Pingar service, they're going to do the processing on their end, and then they're going to come back and then push the metadata back into my document library. So as you can see over here, it's kind of started populating the keywords, the people, the organization, the location with metadata. So now I, as an end user, don't have to go and actually add this stuff on my own, and I can, you know, just use the tool and take advantage of that. The next app that I'm going to demo is very similar to Pingar. It was actually built in 8 days by a startup company called HelloFax. I think it should be published on the store some point today. So basically, they're a startup company based out of San Francisco. They have an existing service called HelloFax.com. You can upload a document. What it does is that it lets you add an e-signature, and then you can fax it or email it to whoever you want to. What they did was use their existing service, use OAuth to integrate with SharePoint, and again, create an entry point through the callout. So I do the same thing that I did with the Pingar app, where I select a document, bring up the callout, you see this new entry called send with HelloFax, and I can click on that to bring up the HelloFax app in the launch experience. I can do great things like edit the document, add my own personal signature to it. I can save it to a specific location in the document. And then when I'm done with that, I can go ahead and send it. So once my document has, at this point my document has been sent, I can go to HelloFax.com and I'd still see the same log over there. So keep in mind, this is something that was built within 8 days. They have plans to add more integration to SharePoint, like storing the logs of which documents were sent, when they were sent, and what the status of each document is. And it'll be very easy for them to push these incremental upgrades with the new app model and the store experience. So now that you've seen what apps for SharePoint can do, let's kind of switch over and take a look at a few apps for Office. So I can create a new document, imagine I'm writing a document about William Shakespeare because I just recently saw a play about him. And what I can do is I can, the same way as we have apps for SharePoint, we also have apps that show up in Excel, PowerPoint, Word. And I can go to the Insert tab in the ribbon, and you see a new button there called Apps for Office. And I can see the recently used apps that I've purchased or that I've used in previous documents. I can also see more apps that are out there on the store. And I can see the apps that are there from my organization. And I can also go ahead and see the apps that I own personally. And I can go and insert it to my document. So in this case, I'm going to choose the Britannica Researcher app. And it's going to bring up what we call a task pane app within my app for SharePoint. And I can do a bunch of really great things with it. And I can interact with my content in my document in a bunch of different ways. So if I select Shakespeare in my document, it'll bring up some information about it, and I can select on a link to get more information about Shakespeare. I can also select some content from within my app and insert it directly into my document by clicking the insert selection and highlighting the content that I want to select. And just so that I don't get dinged for plagiarism, I can also add a citation by just clicking the cite works, and it'll automatically add the URL and the location for where the content was retrieved. So, that's how simple it is for me to kind of start interacting within my app and documents. And, this is really great because I get to focus on my document, and with apps for Office, I can get all the content I want in my document without having to ever leave Word, Excel, or PowerPoint. So, I'm going to go ahead and show you another app for Excel now. So we saw how apps can show up in Word. And I said they can also show up in Excel and PowerPoint. And you just saw a task pane app. We also have this concept of content apps that kind of bring your content within your document more live. And what I can do is the same thing as I did before. Click on the Insert tab, go to Apps for Office, and bring up the Bing Maps app. And what this does is it kind of loads this iframe in my document, and it can load content from Bing Maps. If I insert some sample data into it, I can get more live information about the content in relation to the maps. So this is a really great way to add more live content into your document. And with apps for Office, it makes it very easy for me as an end user to go and create these very rich documents. The last app that I'm going to demo now is going back to SharePoint. It's an app that we actually build internally to boost communication and team morale. And as you saw in all the other apps for SharePoint can integrate a lot of different verticals in SharePoint. And this one specifically integrates with My Sites. So in SharePoint 15, we did a lot of work to revamp My Sites and really do a lot of work on the news feeds. And this app integrates specifically with the news feed feature on My Sites. So it's called the Kudos app. And as you can see, my manager over here had sent me a Kudos earlier today for helping out with the store booth, and it's awesome, so you guys should go check it out. But if I wanted to send a kudos to someone, I could also do that, and I could do it either from here, or I can go to someone else's team site. So if I click on that, I can get launched into the app experience, and I can see all the kudos that I have received. I can also see all the kudos that I have sent, and I can send a kudos directly from this app by adding the alias of who I want to send it to, having a personal message, adding a little badge or a sticker. But I can also go to someone else's team site and give them a kudos. And you know, I want to give Dean a kudos for doing a great job presenting, and it was fun demoing with him. So I can write my personal message, select a sticker, and then I can push the kudos out. So as you can see, it'll push that message into my newsfeed, and it'll say it was, this message was sent a few seconds ago via the Kudos app. If I go to Dean's My Site, there's a little app part over here as well that shows him all the kudos that he has received recently. So with that, I'm going to hand it back over to Dean.
Thanks, Aisha. Nice job. I guess it's fair to say we won't be giving kudos to the internet connection this afternoon. So that, obviously that demo went a lot quicker than it would have done had we been operating in the live store, but that was great nonetheless. So you saw a bit of an overview of the SharePoint store. I think there were a couple of questions on the store experience. I think Vivek has a session in the developer track, which is submitting apps to the store. So it'd definitely be worth checking that one out and seeing the submission process for getting an app into the store and the purchase process as well around that. So we saw a couple of developer apps, existing ISV, and a new partner. And, of course, those scenarios would extend very well to corporate developers as well that want to build apps internally, or if you've got some great solutions that you'd like to make some money for your organization with out in the public store, that's a great way of getting it out there in a pretty friction-free way. So let's talk for a moment about sales strategy, because pretty key part of the store. So you've got a couple of options here. You can build an app, and you can submit it to the store, and you can sell it to all of the users of Office and SharePoint. Or you can carry on with your traditional sales motion, and you can sell direct to the end customer, who can sideload it into their environment and run it. And the experience is very similar, but you're still keeping that direct relationship with your customers. And we've been working over the last 6 months or so with some of the ISVs and developers, and they're figuring out these different models and what works for them currently and how they want to kind of move towards the store experience as well. And if you check out the Office store, there's a whole bunch of really great apps in there currently and growing by the day as well. And just touching on the actual submission and the distribution process itself. So when you built your app, you set up a seller dashboard, and then you submit your app, which goes through a validation process, which is pretty much making sure it meets the quality bar. Aisha called out a couple of things on the UX, then it meets certain standards around that, and it's kind of matching up to the type apps that should really be in the store. Then you've got the choice of what do you want to do with your app. Do you want to have it as a free app and just give it away and get great kudos for your organization and have end users just download the app and take it that way. You can introduce a trial, and that trial could do a whole number of things. It could time out, and then at the end of that trial, it could point them to your environment to have a call with one of your sales team so you can switch to that direct model. It could suggest that they actually purchase their app if their experience has been great with that. Or you can just put in, like the demo earlier, like Sonia did, and just put it straight in as a chargeable app, which we turned on paid for apps very recently, literally in the last few days. So that ability is there now. Build an app, get it straight in there, and start taking. Quick question over there.
Can you still hear me? Okay. It can typically take a day or two, not more than that, but it depends on how much back and forth you have. So if you keep, like, we found that it usually takes one or two tries at least to get your app approved, but it usually happens like very quickly. So, yeah.
It's a smart, like we said, the HelloFax one, those guys started building a couple of weeks back, and it literally got submitted, and it, I think it was published at noon today. So, yeah, it's pretty slick. So then, yeah, you can charge for your app, and then it will then go through the validation process, you choose your payment model, and then it will appear in the office store like the HelloFax app did earlier today, and it will immediately be surfaced for all of the users of the office store, if it's a SharePoint store, that way. And then, of course, the direct model as well. So you still follow the whole app model standard, but you build the app, and then you sell your solution directly to the end customer as well. So you've got the ability to have that traditional, I should say, sales motion and negotiate deals direct. Any more questions on that one? Because we do tend to get a few type questions on this submission process. Sure. As in being published, so it should be from it went from the time you get the approval note, it should appear in the store very shortly after. Great. Could we grab a couple of minutes afterwards? Because a couple of the operations team, I think, in the audience, and we'll grab a few minutes. I'd love to get your feedback on that. That's a great link into the next slide. We're in Vegas, aren't we? Yeah, we're going to show you a way of going home with more money in your pocket, not less. Okay, so yeah, let's talk about making money. The minimum cost of an app in the store is $1.49. And then the top end cost, and this is the individual license cost, $999. The revenue share, I know that was asked earlier, that's 20% Microsoft, by the way, and 80% for you guys, and that's out of the gate. So it starts off, there's not like a tiering system. It starts with 80% rev share for you guys. Like I said, you've got the options around the trial apps, and if you wanted to do commerce yourself, you can do so. You can actually have the app in the store, and you can set up your own commerce model outside of the store if that's a better model for you guys as well. Purchase. So you can put a free app in the store, and there's no charges associated with that.
You can have a trial app as well. So if you have a paid model for it, you can opt into a trial model as well. And you can do a bunch of different things with the trial. So you can you can say, I'm going to limit to say only 10 users on a tenancy can use it, and they have full functionality. Or you can say that 10 users and they can use it forever. Or you can limit it by saying everyone can use it, but they can only use it for 30 days, or you can do a combination of both and say that I'm going to give it to only 10 people for 30 days.
Is there a licensing API?
Are you going to provide a licensing API for something like that? So there is a licensing API, and if you go to dev.office.com, there are a bunch of samples on how you can actually use that API. But yes, we do. We don't enforce licensing on our end. We leave it up to the developer to enforce as much of it as they want to. So as a developer, you can say that, you know, I want to give everyone, you know, even if they don't have a license, I'll let them have read-only functionality so they can see how awesome my app is, and then they can go buy it. But you can also decide to say that if you don't have a license, you can't do anything. So it's up to you to enforce it as much as you want. But we do have APIs for you to check if a user has a license or not.
So we don't currently have subscriptions, but they are coming soon. We can't give you a time on that, but it's soon. No reason why you couldn't, as long as you kind of respected someone else's IP, but yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Similar scenarios. We've got categories in the store, so you know, we're assuming that there's going to be a whole bunch of social apps, for example, but yeah, there's nothing to stop you doing that, for sure. Sure. Could we come on to that at the end? We've got a few more slides, and then we'll come back to that question if that's okay, and because we've got a whole bunch of time, so we can just have a full-on Q&A if that's okay with everyone.
Yeah.
We're going to... Is that kind of okay to... Because there's a lot of hands up, and now
yeah.
I feel like we've set up a Q&A session.
Yeah, we're actually like two slides away from being done.
Okay.
So let's finish, and
then we can
go
fly through it.
Yeah.
And then, so as Aisha demonstrated on the slideshow app, there's obviously the per-seat pricing and the organization-wide pricing as well. And then global reach. So the store is available internationally. It's currently only available as a US store, so English language apps. However, the majority of geos can actually access the office store and download an app and use the app and buy that app. And also as a development community and partners, you can build apps, submit, and actually get paid on those apps as well. We can't give you specific timings on it, but we will be opening local stores, local languages, so there'll be the opportunity to have apps merchandised for a local market and building in that local language as well. Thank you. Okay, so what next? We just wanted to give you a few, bits of guidance to get the most out of your week. And firstly, thanks for coming to today's session. But there's a whole developer track. So if you are with developers or you have a development background, there are a whole bunch of sessions on building apps. And like I said, there's the app submission process on it. Aisha gave it a great plug earlier. We have a store booth. You probably got handed some cards on the way. And if you want to fill one of those cards out, we'll take a look at it. We are going to select a couple every day to meet with a program manager. So if you think you're in a good advanced state of thinking on an app, we'd love to grab some time with you and just help you through that thinking as well and just draw some ideas up on a whiteboard. And then sign up. We've got a whole bunch of... I'm not sure your developers will need it after this week, but we're very cognizant that you might have people back at the office that haven't been able to immerse themselves in the whole app model. If you go to the store booth, there's a whole bunch of training. We've just published 34 worldwide events where we're going to actually go through some deep dive app building sessions, and we'll have some of our engineering teams there as well. So I'd definitely advise you to sign up for those or sign up for your team back at base on those. Submit the app card. That's going to really help us help you.
Yeah, there'll be someone collecting it.
There will be someone collecting it on the way out. Thank you. So yeah, we'll open it up for Q&A, and we'll use the next 20 minutes or so for just open questions, if that's okay with everyone. So I'll start over.
So I had my first sale last week.
Congratulations.
From the metrics of the dashboard, I really can't tell what was sold or how much money I have, or anything like that.
Okay.
I don't know if it's some cash or something like that. Or something.
Let's grab some time afterwards, and we'll chat to one of the operations guys.
What kind of focus statistics do you provide for us for how many people have viewed our app? How many people have... I'm sure you provide, like, how many people have downloaded the file, downloaded the folder. Do you also provide, like, how many people viewed it?
I believe we do. I think we do give those metrics, yeah. Yeah. I'm conscious that there was a gentleman over there that we said we'd wait till the end who was talking about marketing, and then... So could you...
Oh, we should probably be repeating the questions.
You should.
Yeah.
And I guess it's worth bearing in mind that we've only just come out of the beta phase, but we will be making sure that the store is more front and center. And you know, at the moment, you're right, we haven't done that much end user awareness or demand around it, and it's going to start featuring more and more on that.
Yeah, so one thing.
Yeah,
one thing that we've tried to do is, you know, like in the team site you saw, it's kind of one of the front and center things. Like, you know, when you create a new team site, one of the things you can do is add apps. And the fact that it's so deeply integrated with adding lists and libraries, and that's something people that they're aware of, it's kind of a way to kind of channel them to be like, yeah, the lists and libraries, but there's more. These more things are apps. So we're trying to slowly guide them. And yes, we do need to do more. But you know, we're trying to guide them slowly. We're having a lot of these events where we do talk about it a lot. So we're hoping people will hear us.
But it's great feedback, and I agree on the demand side of it as the end users, making sure that people are aware that the store exists and being able to get hold of these great apps as well. Mm-hmm. But you'll definitely see a lot more noise on that over the coming months. The icon is there for sure. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So they can request certain levels of permission. So there are different things you can. So the question was, does the app have access to all of the information in SharePoint? Based on, you saw the consent dialog, right, when I was installing the app. So in the app manifest, the developer can specify the things that it requires access to. So you can specify things as granular as a specific document library, or you can say, I want access to everything on the site. So there are different levels of access that you can request, and based on the information that you need, you can go ahead and request that. So, yeah. So there's this concept of a tenant scope permission. But you would need to be an IT admin to be able to, the tenant admin to be able to install that app, because if you do require access to stuff across the entire tenancy, then it needs to be deployed on the tenant site, and then you can kind of push it out to every other site, and it can share the same backend, and it can get access to all of the stuff.
So, question over there.
So we do sign the package when you submit it for validation. Microsoft does this, I believe it does. I believe it does. I can confirm.
We can grab your details.
Yeah, grab
your
details after. Yeah. Oh, he can answer that.
You request a client ID from Microsoft and build your app with that ID.
Thank you.
Through the app model? So the app model is specifically for the newer version of SharePoint. If you have existing solutions, they will continue to work. So if you have custom solutions or any other old solutions, they will continue to work. But yes, you cannot take the app model back to the older versions of SharePoint. Yeah.
There's a gentleman in front of you.
Yeah, so there's this, so we have the app catalog site, and over there, it's basically under the tenant admin site, and you can deploy an app to the tenant's admin site, and then you can say push it to, and you can push it to actually like every single site collection, or you can push it to a specific site template. So, you know, I can say I want this specific app on everyone's team site. So every time a new team site is provisioned, or if there are any existing team sites, that app will bubble up over there. So you can do by manage path, by site template, and then by, you know, everything. Or, yeah. Yes, they can purchase them as well. So I spoke about the different licensing models. So you have the poor user license, you have free trial, and then you also have the license for everyone in my organization. So that's the one, if you really do want everyone to use it, that's probably the one that you want to buy.
Yeah. As in the frequency of payments and the kind of threshold of payments. I don't have that specifically to hand, but there is a process around the whole kind of international side of it, yeah, but I don't have the specifics on, you know, we wait for a certain amount, and that's how we can grab your details afterwards and answer that specifically for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's, again, like I mentioned, it's you do have to assign them to specific people. If you buy it, if you buy a site license, so that's for everyone in your organization, then you don't have to do any assignment. Everyone automatically gets it. But if you buy 5 seats or 20 seats or specific numbers of seats, then you need to assign those people. And we have, you know, if you did see that in that call out, there was a section for licenses. So you can go there, and as a manager of the license, because I purchased it, I can assign it out to other people. Yeah, so all as an end user, no, you don't have to worry about it. As an end user, I can just kind of say that, you know, I want to assign this license to Dean and to Rob and the audience and to other people, but I can just use the aliases and assign the licenses out to them.
So the license API, as far as how the app responds based on licensing, so
yes.
Like for the slideshow app, I can say an unlicensed user can see the slideshow, but in order to configure it,
correct. You can build an app and put it into the Office and SharePoint store.
I don't know if it'll get validated.
as a trial app, but if you wanted to do the commerce, but we the question on sort of spinning up your own version of the store. Yeah.
We actually have this concept of an internal catalog. I'm not sure. Do you want commerce around the store, or is it just for distribution apps? Just for distribution. Yeah. So we have. When I did show that your apps page, there's that section about from your organization. So through the tenant admin, there's a site collection called the app catalog. And you can provision that, you can upload app packages there, and kind of bubbles up in that same user experience that you saw earlier. So they don't need to go anywhere different or special to get those apps. They can just go to one section, it all kind of shows up in this combined view, and there's a filter if you just want to look at the apps that my company's made for me. So you can do it through that pipeline. Yeah. We don't have that currently in the store. But it's good feedback, and we'll look into adding it. So,
I think it's on the front row.
I'm sorry, could you repeat
for
that again?
Azure hosted apps.
So I believe all of that stuff will be released. Is it for the auto-hosted Azure apps? Is that what you're talking about? Okay. So I think that information will be released once we set up scripts.
There's a whole bunch of Azure sessions as well this week, so I'd definitely go to those.
But in general, the developer will not be. What happens is that each tenancy has a certain amount of Azure resources that they get for free. And when they install an app, it kind of consumes those Azure resources. And once they're filled out, they can get more Azure resources. Person buying it.
If you want to leave your details at the end, we'll respond specifically to that one. Totally understand that.
Is Microsoft going to sell any apps in the App Store? Are they going to eat their own dog food here?
So we're actually working on a few first-party apps that we're building. The Kudos app that I just showed you is an example of something we've been working on.
Chargeable apps.
Yeah, so we will be selling a few apps in the store. And I think, like Dean mentioned, we already have a few developers who've actually started using our commerce model. So that'll be a good way for us to also evaluate the trends as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and where it's appropriate, we'd like to be able to share, like you say, that demographic and success stories. But obviously, commerce has been on a few days, but we'd like to have those very shortly. So we can. Absolutely, yeah, yeah. If you're going to make that investment, you want to see some, yeah, some real data on it. Thank you. Correct. Yeah, so I guess the scenario you're saying there is you could put a trial app or a free app in the store, but then if they want to get the extra functionality or the trial ends, the app can send them directly to your commerce model, so you can then do the commerce directly and everything else. And yeah, there's no revenue on that side of it.
So
it's allowed.
Yeah. So for example, if it's something like a Netflix,
I think this is quite bad. I'm not, as in how many you can submit as an organization. I'm not aware of a limit. Not aware of one. Sure. If you want to build 50 apps, I'd love to talk to you afterwards. Let's have a conversation.
Per user,
per user
max. So in general, apps for Office can interact with the content within a document. So that's what our framework allows right now. So you can, you know, you can do fun things like, you know, get content from the document pushed into the app, get content from the app pushed into the document. But you can also imagine an app for Office coming with SharePoint. So you could have an app for SharePoint that you've installed and downloaded through SharePoint store, and it contains a bunch of apps for Office within it, which get hosted in SharePoint. And then when I open documents or, you know, from that specific app for SharePoint, these apps for Office will render in the task pane or as the content. And then you can, if you do want them to communicate with each other, you can kind of do that through, because they're all kind of hosted in the same location. Yeah. And if it's pushing information back into SharePoint, they can kind of communicate with each other through that channel.
So.
I don't believe so.
No. So an example of that, we built earlier in the year, we actually built something to coincide with the Olympics in London. And as Aisha mentioned, we had a whole bunch of apps within a template that were interacting with each other, showing it had a live feed to stats.com, pulling in all the medal tracking and populating that and some really cool Bing maps and everything else. More recently, we built it in around 2 weeks. It was an election tracker app. Someone in our research team had a site that was getting live polling data, and they had a predictive algorithm around it, and we actually populated all the run-up to the election with the latest polling stats onto a Bing map and predicted outcomes and things on that as well.
Mm-hmm. So there's this process called the request flow that's available. So, you know, if I'm, as an end user, I'm looking at an app, and I was like, geez, this is like really interesting, but it's kind of expensive. I don't know if I can expense this. You can, there's a drop-down called More Actions. I can try to bring it up. And you can basically, in there, you can say, I want to request this app, and you can say how many seats you want. You can say why you want to use it. You can kind of send this request over to your admin, and then they can approve that request. They can make the purchase for you. and give you a license for it. So as an end user, if I'm kind of like, I don't know if I can get this expense, or I don't know if I want to use my own credit card, you can send a request to someone to purchase it for you.
Yeah. And IT can configure that and actually force it that a request has to go centrally before someone can actually, they can see the apps, but they can't, they can configure that.
If IT does want a lockdown purchase, they can say that everyone can see all the apps. You can never turn that off, so everyone can always see all the apps, but they can never buy it, and they have to always purchase, request it. And in that case, that huge buy button that you saw will change into a requested button. So.
Conscious of time anymore?
We have 4 minutes.
Questions?
Could you repeat your question? I couldn't really hear. In validation, so there are a bunch of different things that we check. If you actually want this crazy details, you can go to dev.office.com, and there's a section called validation over there.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, a lot of stuff is like UX, making sure that the app actually works the way you're describing it does, making sure it's not doing anything illegal in some sense, and kind of just the basic stuff. But you can go to dev.office.com. There's a section that gives you all the details.
Yeah, it's pretty intense validation. I think we just summarized it, but there's an extensive list there for sure.
Yeah.
That's a great question. So part of my other role has been redeveloping the new SharePoint competency. The NPM booth guys are promoting that. And we have put a app track in there. So if you build an app, you publish it to the store, the competency requirements are massively reduced then, and it's one of the dev exams, and that gives you the competency. So yeah, we want to respect developers getting the SharePoint competency as well. So we have no plans to charge you for that. So that will become a competency requirement. You go through this process, you do the exam, and it's worth having a chat with the NPM guys, but we've just started talking about the details this week on that.
So. I think there was something back there. No? All right.
You mentioned a little bit more about the IT protection.
Yes. So what I mentioned the internal catalog that I can use to distribute apps as, you know, if the company builds apps, they can use an internal catalog to distribute it. The other thing that you can do is also you can turn off purchase. And that's I think we designed it just right because we want to make sure that users have the ability to see all of the great things that you guys build. But at the same time, if IT does want to kind of control the inflow of apps, they can, you know, kind of lock down the purchase experience and always say that, even if it's a free app, they can lock it down and say that, hey, as an end user, you need to always request an app before you install it. So that's pretty much the level of control that we've given IT. When an end user goes to the store, instead of purchasing it, they have to request the app, and it kind of sends a workflow to the admin who can approve or reject.
Yeah.
Oh, IP. I thought you heard IT protection.
I don't have a response on that. There's the obviously there's the validation process, and there's the agreements where you sign up for the store, the seller account, and everything else. And there's all the agreements that people sign up to in there as well. I don't have the specifics on that, but yeah, our legal team made sure that they protect people that submit apps to the store.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So wait, I think Eric. And then we have a process of flagging an app or bringing the app down if it was actually doing something bad. Yeah.
The
Yes. We take it seriously. One more question.
So the apps are based by, so if you look to the store really closely, if you go to it on your own, there's a section on top that says by country, and you can kind of filter based on the market that the app has been made available to. So as a developer, when you submit an app to the store, you can say, I want it to be submitted in the US market or the India market or the London market, UK market, and based off of that, users can filter the markets and they can buy stuff across different markets.
You can.
You can.
Okay, I think that's about us at time, but thank you for participating and thank you for